Once again, it's a privilege to be with you. I encourage you to get your Bible and follow along in our study. I call our attention to the battle scene in 2 Samuel chapter 18. When two messengers returned to David, and the king said, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" 2 Samuel 18:29. And again, under Cushai, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" in verse 32. I make spiritual application of that in asking the question this afternoon. Is the young man safe? Let me suggest to you some occasions from a spiritual standpoint when the young man is safe. First, the young man is safe when he seeks after God. In the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 34, we read of Josiah, who began to reign when he was 8 years old, and the Bible reports concerning him in verse 2, "He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young," notice what he did, "he began to seek after the God of David his father." Here's a young man who began to seek after God while young. I suggest to you that when you pattern yourself after Josiah and you seek after God while you're young, it'll help you to be safe. In 1 Chronicles 28 and in verse 9, prior to David's departure, he charged his son Solomon, saying, "Know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." Why is it that some never find God? Perhaps because they're not seeking after God. In the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 12 and verse 14, we read of one who was said to have done evil. You know why? He did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. How about your heart today? My heart. Are we prepared to seek the Lord? In Acts chapter 17, when Paul preached to the men of Athens at Mars Hill, he preached about seeking the Lord when he said that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. Acts 17:27-28. And so is the young man safe? The question is, does the young man seek after God? If he seeks after God, then he's safe. But as you contemplate this question, is the young man safe? The young man is safe when he takes heed according to God's word. In Psalm 119, the psalmist put a lot of emphasis on the Word of God. In fact, throughout all these verses, you'll find 10 designations of the Word. It's referred to different ways, like the Word and testimonies and commandments and law and ways, and on that goes. He puts a lot of value on the Lord's Word. One of the things that the Lord's Word does is it cleanses. In Psalm 119:9, he asked this question, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" And then he answers that when he says, "By taking heed thereto according to thy word." And so the young man is safe when he takes heed to God's word. God's word is truth. As Jesus said in John 17:17, "Sanctify them through truth. Thy word is truth." And it's that which makes us clean. In the book of John, in chapter 15, when the Lord talked about the importance of abiding in him, he said in verse 3, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." And so when you take heed to the word, you take heed to that which cleanses you. But also it has the power to save you. James said in James 1:21, "Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul." This book, the Bible, the Word of God, can do more for you than any other book. It can save your soul. It can cleanse your soul. And so, is the young man safe? Is he seeking after God? Does he take heed to God's word? You might like to use this study as a checklist to see if you can check off these features. But as we ask the question, is the young man safe? The young man is safe when he remembers his Creator. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and 12, Solomon gives three R's for young people. Not reading, writing, and arithmetic, but rejoice, remove, and remember. He said in Ecclesiastes 11:9, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. And let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. And so enjoy life, but realize that you're going to be held accountable for what you do. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. They're fleeting, they're passing. And then he says in chapter 12, verse 1, remember. Remember when? Now. Remember now who? Thy Creator. And again, remember when? In the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Don't wait until the difficult days of advanced years to think about God. Remember now thy Creator. Remember the fact that you have a Creator. How that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Genesis 1:1. And on the sixth day of creation, God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Genesis 2 and verse 7. And when God observed man's need of companionship, he put the man to sleep and took a rib from his side, and with the rib that he'd taken from man, he made a woman and brought her unto the man. And so Jesus referred to that in Matthew 19 and said, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Matthew 19:4. Remember your Creator. He said, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, or the clouds return after the rain. And then in verse 13, he said, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man. You're not whole, you're not complete if you leave God out of your life. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. There are a lot of young people that leave God out of their lives. They don't think about God. They don't think about their Creator. They're not mindful of their responsibilities to God. They lack respect for God. They're not interested in the commandments of God. And I suggest to you that such young people are not safe spiritually. If you're interested in being safe, then you'll be concerned about your Creator and what it is that He expects of you. To remember Him, to be mindful of your responsibilities to Him, to fear Him, that is to respect Him, and to keep His commandments. John said, blessed are they that do His commandments. They may have right to the tree of life in Revelation 22 and verse 14. And so is the young man safe? Well, can you check that off? Are you remembering your Creator in the days of your youth? Somebody says, well, I'll wait till I get older to start thinking about that. Well, you don't have any guarantee of being able to do that. We have no idea of what a day may bring forth, Proverbs 27:1. And the Lord can come at any moment. And life can be snuffed out so quickly, and so remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. But as you think about, is the young man safe? Let me suggest to you another thing that you might consider. And that is, the young man is safe when he is an example of the believers. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, Paul told young Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. That is, don't let anybody look down upon you because you're young. There may be those who would have a tendency to look down upon a person because of their age. You remember when David went up against Goliath, that he was disdained, he was despised because he was but a youth. But Goliath didn't know who he was up against because David had the Lord on his side, and David prevailed. But here's a way that you can keep folks from looking down upon you because you're young. In fact, you can be respected as a young person. And that is when you're an example of the believers. When folks can point to you and say, there's an example of what it means to be a Christian. To conduct yourself as a Christian should. And he gives some areas in which we ought to be examples. He talks about word, conversation, charity, spirit, faith, and purity. To be an example in word is to be an example in our speech. To have the kind of speech that Paul talked to Titus about, that young men need to have in Titus chapter 2, when he said in verse 8, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. And so when you use speech that is sound, speech that is healthy, it's in agreement with what the Bible teaches, you're an example of the believers. When you would be dishonest and lie and be guilty of false witness, slander, or filthy communication, then you're not an example of the believers in word. He talks about in conversation. We often use that word in regard to what we say, but it's a more comprehensive word here in that it takes in our manner of life, how we live. And how we live, how we conduct ourselves in our conversation, we're to be an example. He talks about charity, that's love. To have the proper kind of love, there are things that we are to love. We're to love God with all of our heart. You can be an example of believers in love by putting God first in your life, first before other things, as seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness would demand in Matthew 6 and verse 33. In love for your family, love for your parents, love for your neighbor, for your fellow man, as the Lord taught, not only to love the Lord your God with all your heart, but to love your neighbor as yourself. And when it talks about spirit, that has to do with our attitude. We can have a good attitude or a bad attitude. It's up to us. We decide. And the world is filled with lots of bad attitudes. There are those who have a bad attitude about everything and everybody. But be an example when it comes to attitude. Have a good attitude. And there's some wonderful attitudes that we would do well to carry out in our life in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 31 when he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And so don't manifest an attitude that would display bitterness, an attitude of wrath or anger, or an attitude that would convey clamor or from which evil speaking would come, but an attitude of kindness, being kind one to another. An attitude of being tender-hearted and forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And then he talks about in faith, to be an example of believers in faith, to have a faith that is strong, that is not wavering, a faith that is like the faith of those in Hebrews chapter 11. Think about those great faith heroes. Think about Enoch, for example, of whom it was said that he pleased God. Have a God-pleasing faith. Have the kind of faith that Abraham had, that when he was called to go out to a place he didn't know where he was going, the Bible says he obeyed. Have an obedient faith, the kind of faith that just does what God says, without questioning God, without arguing with God about it. Whether we understand or see the wisdom behind it, we're just going to do what God says. When a young man is an example of the believers in faith, then he's safe. And then he talks about impurity. Purity. You know, in this same letter, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, the apostle talked about, look, no man despise thy youth, but he also said, keep thyself pure. 1 Timothy 5, and then verse 22. Those kind of go together, don't they? When he says in chapter 4 and verse 12, in purity, and then in chapter 5 and verse 22, keep thyself pure. That's the responsibility that I have as an individual. And you as well. That's something you cannot do for me and I can't do for you. It's a thyself responsibility. Keep thyself pure. And to do that, it's important that we think on things that are pure. We watch what we think about. In Philippians 4 and verse 8, Paul said, whatsoever things are pure, among other things, think on these things. And we think on what we hear and what we see, don't we? That's why the Bible warns us, take heed what you hear, and the Bible warns about the lust of the eyes. And so I need to be careful as to what I watch and what I listen to because it affects my thinking. It would cause me either to be pure or impure. And so can you check this off? Can you say, yes, I'm an example of the believers. I'm an example in word, in what I say, in my manner of life, in my conversation, in charity when it comes to love. I love the things that I should. I love God. I put Him first in my life. I show love for my fellow man, and I don't have my love misdirected. I don't love the world. As John said, love not the world, 1 John 2 and in verse 15. And I'm an example when it comes to spirit. I have a good attitude. I manifest a good attitude. I don't fly off the handle. I'm not bitter. I'm not angry. I am an example when it comes to faith. I'm interested in pleasing God and obeying God, and an example in purity, in trying to keep myself pure and thinking on the things that would promote purity in my life. And I'm not going to fill my mind with things that are impure. Is the young man safe? He's safe when he's an example of the believers. Let me suggest to you another idea from the book of 2 Timothy, and that is the young man is safe when he flees youthful lust. In 2 Timothy 2, and in verse 22, Paul said, "Flee also youthful lust." Youthful lust are passions that would be peculiar to young people, and those are to be fled. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18, Paul said, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." A good example of that would be Joseph, wouldn't it? In the book of Genesis in chapter 39, when he was enticed by his master's wife, and the Bible says he refused and fled and got him out. And so there's a case where he literally fled. We need to flee youthful lust. As John talked about, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life in 1 John 2 and in verse 16. When you flee youthful lust, you're following after something else. You're going in a different direction. You're pursuing a different course. And he talks about those things that would be worthy of our pursuit, like righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And so the young man is safe when he flees youthful lust and follows after righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. There are some who kind of go in the wrong direction. There are those who are fleeing from the things they ought to be following and following after that which they ought to be fleeing. And so is the young man safe? Does the young man flee youthful lust? But then there's one other from the book of Psalms that I want to ask you about, and that is the young man is safe when he is ready to die. You know, in Psalm 88 and in verse 15, the psalmist said, "I'm afflicted and ready to die from my youth up." Can you say that? Can you say, "I'm ready to die from my youth up"? We recognize that death is appointed to all, Hebrews 9 and verse 27, and it's no respecter of persons. It comes at all ages. You might think that as a young person, you have your whole life laid out before you. And like the rich man of Luke 12, you have plans for many years. But we have no guarantee of that, do we? Here's a man that had plans for many years and he didn't live through the night. And so as a young man, can you check off these things that we've talked about? Is the young man safe? Are you seeking after God? Do you take heed to the Word of God? Are you remembering your Creator now in the days of your youth? Are you an example of the believers? Are you fleeing youthful lust? Can you say with the psalmist, "I'm ready to die"? Think about that. The young man is safe. David was concerned about the young man, about Absalom. He didn't know about his welfare, and so he asked the question, "Is he safe?" And in this particular case, he was not, was he? He had learned of his son's death, and he wept and he mourned, and he said, "Oh, Absalom, my son, with God I had died for thee, my son Absalom." It shows the expression of care and concern that this father had for his son. And we're concerned about our sons. We're concerned about our daughters. We're concerned about our young people. We want things to be well with them. We want them to be safe. And as much as we care about their physical well-being and their physical safety, we try to provide an atmosphere where they're safe and they're secure. We're even more concerned about their spiritual safety. We want things to be well with them spiritually. We want all to be well with their soul. And when we begin to apply what the Bible teaches concerning young people, then we can ensure the safety of the young man. The young man is safe when he'll seek after God. The young man is safe when he takes heed to the Word of God. The young man is safe when he remembers the Creator in the days of his youth. The young man is safe when he is an example of the believers. The young man is safe when he flees youthful lust. And the young man is safe when he is ready to die. And we ready ourselves for that by obeying the gospel, don't we? By becoming a believer. If we're not a believer, by obeying the gospel call, hearing the gospel, believing it with all of our heart, repenting of our sins, as the Lord commands, of all men everywhere, to confess our faith, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and to be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. When we realize that we've sinned, we've gone against what God's Word teaches, there are things that we've not been doing that we ought to be, or there are things that we've been doing that we ought not be, then we turn from that and we recognize the need for our being baptized, immersed in water, for the remission of our sins. All those past mistakes and problems can be forgiven and can be forgotten by the Lord. And then you can come up out of the waters of baptism with the assurance that you're safe, that all is well with your soul, that no matter what might happen, all is well. Maybe you've already obeyed the gospel. You become a Christian and you realize that there's some things that you can't check off. And you're not sure if things are well, if you're safe or not. And you can repent of that. Maybe you've not been fleeing what you ought to be. You've been neglecting following after those things. Maybe you've not been taking heed to the Word like you need to, and you want to correct that. You want to make that right. You can do that today by repenting of that, asking for God's forgiveness in prayer. And then you can be assured once again that all is well. And that when the question is asked, is the young man safe with reference to you? That can be said, yes, he's safe. Yes, she's safe because of what they're trying to do in their life. We want things to be well with you. And if things are not well, if things are not safe at this time and you need to make some correction in your life, we're here to help you if you'll make your way to the front while we stand and sing the song that's been selected.